The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Though the disciples struggle with Jesus' nature and identity, they receive the promise that they too will be identified with God and God's mission. Though he must leave them now, Jesus promises the coming of the Advocate, whom God will send comfort and enlighten them. I begin reading at verse 8. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The Gospel of the Lord. Maybe see. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been to a large 4th of July picnic? Probably spent the whole day there, maybe part of the day, but during the day, there was probably games that were organized, maybe washers or horseshoes. Maybe there was a sack race or maybe an egg toss going on and just time to visit. Maybe there was music, too. Possibly a band was playing. And then there was the food. Probably had hot dogs and maybe some beans or potato salad and maybe some potato chips, and then watermelon to go along with all that. But then in the evening, when things were starting to get dark, maybe the band would strike up again and start playing Sousa marches, and then the fireworks would go off. And there'd be beautiful fireworks shooting up in the sky, all the different colors of the rainbow up there. Or maybe the loud percussion caps, those that just go boom and rattle everything that's going on. In our first lesson today, the story of Pentecost, it's as if those fireworks are going off in the room with the disciples. And you've got to understand these disciples. They're still scared. Jesus had been crucified. He was raised from the dead. He had spent some time with them, but then he had gone away again. He had gone up to heaven. And so here the disciples were once again sitting around in this upper room with the doors locked. And all of a sudden, they feel that rush and hear that rush of mighty wind. And they see the tongues of fire on each other's heads, and they are filled with that Holy Spirit. A wild day. Can you imagine being in that place with all that noise, with all the light, with that enthusiasm and that excitement? To help recreate that this morning here in church, I had considered having our acolytes set off some fireworks this morning. here inside, maybe some bottle rockets or Roman candles or firecrackers or percussion caps, but I decided against that. But you can imagine the excitement or the noise that went on in that room. And it was so much that that room could not contain the disciples. And they went out on the streets. They went out there to the streets where the people were. And there were lots of people because it was, again, a festival time. The Festival of the Weeks. The Harvest Festival was going on in Jerusalem. So there were people from all over, from not only in Jerusalem or the countryside, but from pilgrims from other nations and countries. And those disciples, filled with that Holy Spirit, were also filled with the gift of tongues, and they were able to tell that story of Jesus to people in their own languages so that they too could understand. But all this commotion was going on, this excitement, and the people were somewhat bewildered. They were saying, aren't these just Galileans? How can they speak in our languages? How can we hear? And you can imagine the babble that was going on because the people too were getting excited or getting bewildered. They didn't know what was happening. And they were confused. And some people said, these people are just drunk. They've had too much wine to drink. And it was time for Peter to step in. It was time for Peter to quiet down some of the chaos and to bring this so that people could understand, so that it wouldn't just be dismissed. And Peter preaches a sermon here in our lesson for today. But actually that sermon continues on throughout chapter 2 of Acts. And I'm going to talk about that just a little bit, of what Peter had to say to the people. The first thing he said, of course, was, they're not drunk. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Perhaps some of you have gone to a spiritual retreat at some point or another, or maybe you have heard a great, wonderful speaker, or maybe you have done some reading, and it has just filled you. Something clicked with inside, and you knew that the Holy Spirit was in you. It enthused you to do the work of the Lord. It enthused you maybe to even change your life, to turn things around in your own life. That Holy Spirit came and you were aware. And because of that, you were able to do something new for the Lord. The disciples were filled with that Holy Spirit. Something new had happened to them. Something that made them leave those locked rooms and to go out and proclaim that message of Jesus Christ. Another thing that Peter told them was the story of Christ, or to try to bring that home to them, exactly who Jesus was. And he tells them of the humble beginnings, that God stripped himself of his divinity and came down to this earth. The Creator became a creature. Be like the President of the United States coming here to collect our garbage. God stripped himself of that glory and that might and that power, and he came to this earth to be just like us, to become human. And the amazing thing was is that as Jesus walked this earth, he did amazing things. He did wonderful things. And when we think about the power of God and through Jesus Christ, we think about maybe some of those miracles that he did, of say walking on the water, changing water into wine, multiplying the fishes and the loaves. But really, the most amazing things that Jesus did are the most eye-opening, the things that turned the world upside down were those who he actually ministered to. Because the ones who he actually ministered to were those that the rest of society had just cast off, had cast out. People who were the dregs of society, people who didn't count. That's who Jesus came to. That's who Jesus came for. He came for those who were hurting. He came to those who were poor. He came to those who were sick. He came to those who were left outside of the rest of the group. And Christ comes for us too. Now, after Peter tells all these people about what Jesus Christ did. Peter goes on to say then, and you killed him. You put him on the cross. You hollered out, crucify, crucify him. You killed Jesus, this Son of God, this Creator who came down to be a creature. You killed him. And it's possible that some of these people in this crowd here at this festival actually were there 7 weeks earlier. It could have been very much possible that some of those people were there on that Sunday when Jesus comes into Jerusalem and they were shouting Hosanna, but then later in the week they were shouting crucify, crucify him. And it's very likely as well then too that some of those religious leaders were there in that crowd on this first Pentecost Sunday too. That they were actually there in both places. And Peter says, you killed them. But I think Peter's also talking about the rest of the crowd as well. And he's talking about us. It's not a message that we want to hear. That we actually killed Jesus. That we participated in that. That we killed the Creator who became a creature. We kill him every time we sin. It was for our sins, for our sins, that he went to the cross and he hung there. Peter tells the people, God had a plan. And he also quotes scripture in several different places here. I think there's over 300 references to Jesus or predictions, prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. God had a plan. And God could work through anything. God could even work through the evil intentions of people. God could turn that evil around and bring salvation out of that. Christ went to the cross. He was nailed there. People yelled, crucify, crucify him. They wanted to see him dead. We killed Jesus too, but God had a plan that even through that evil, God would bring about that salvation. And that's what Christ did. When the people that Peter was talking to heard this message, and that Holy Spirit was also working through them as well then too, because they understood the message. And they were upset that they would kill Jesus. And Peter goes on to tell them, though, that through this plan, God raised Jesus back to life to save the people, to give hope to the people, to give hope to us as well. And the people heard that message and they were still upset and they started to cry out, what shall we do? What can we do? And Peter simply says, believe. Repent and be baptized. People say, what? That's it? That's all? Yes. Believe, repent, change your life. Turn to God. Go back to God. Listen to what Jesus has to say. Receive that Holy Spirit. That's it. And be baptized. That's all? Yes, that's it. Simply believe and be baptized. Repent. That Holy Spirit was working in that place. I think the Holy Spirit works in this place as well, too. We have many dedicated people. We have very many people who are willing to serve the Lord, who love the Lord, who believe in that message of salvation. For those people on that day, many too believed. That story closes and it says, y'all remember how many people were baptized on that day? There were 3,000 people baptized on that day. Can you imagine 3,000 people being baptized in one service? Think what that would do to our congregation if 3,000 people were baptized in one day. It would change the dynamics, that's for sure. But the story closes then, and it says, many people, or they started to dedicate themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the breaking of the bread. The church was formed, and that speaks of who the church is then. Dedication to that word of God. Dedication to that scripture, dedication to what God would have us do so that we can continue to learn and gain wisdom and to gain faith into this Christian church and to have faith in God and trust God and then come together as the people of God to give worship in the breaking of the bread, in the sacraments, in the Holy Communion. Christ calls us together. He gives us that gift of the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit calls us back into worship and gives us strength then to go out of worship and to live godly lives. God is with us now and always through that gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.